Always great to have your company, but when it's Grand Final Eve, it's got a little bit extra on it. And don't forget Midday Madness on Monday. We're coming your way on Monday for more Midday Madness, and we might do a couple of hours of it after the Grand Final. So I'm looking forward to that as well. I'm looking forward to broadcasting on AFL Nation on the weekend as well. AFL Nation's coverage of Grand Final Day on SEN, starting with Crunch Time from 11 a.m. tomorrow before the pre-match starts from 5 p.m. Terry's going to be part of it as well. Anthony Hudson, of course, Jared Waitley, Brent Staker, Gary Lyon, Kane Corns, among those you'll hear. So I'm looking forward to working with Terry tomorrow as his last gig with AFL Nation, but his last gig with SEN essentially is with me. And it's great to have you on the program, Terry. Firstly, on behalf of all the listeners, not just myself, thank you for everything you've done over the course of time on this show, on this radio station. And it's going to be a sad loss, but exciting times for you. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dwayne, and looking forward to what the next adventure holds. But certainly, I've really loved working on your program, love working with the station. When most other people turn their backs on me back when I lost my coaching position with Richmond, SEN were one who opened the doors and at least give me that opportunity. And I've always been very, very grateful to them and Croc Media in particular. Those were the two that allowed me to stay in the game.
And McDonald's love you as well. That's why they've been able to be with us for a McCafe coffee catch-up with you every time you're on. Head to a McCafe for a fast, safe and contact-free quality barista-made coffee. And on the text machine, there's been plenty of love for you. Terry, I read out about 9 or 10 before the break, but quite a few have come through. Really going to miss Terry Wallace. He wasn't a sensationalist, just pure footy. We all learnt about the game from listening to him. All the best. Ben from Mount Eliza, thanks for that, Ben. Plough, thank you. Great player, great commentator. Loved hearing your expert breakdowns and opinions. We'll miss you. Enjoy retirement, Ben, in West Melbourne. Quite a few have come through, Terry. We're going to give you a snapshot of all of those, and I'll read out a heap more very, very shortly. You're also doing the Grand Final tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to doing. Let's talk about it. What do you think might happen, Terry? What do you think might happen tomorrow night?
Well, I'll say one thing. I think this will be the most difficult of the three Grand Finals that Richmond have played in. Just doing my numbers and just having a look at things where I've gone into the other games. I know some people didn't, were a bit iffy about them against Adelaide in that first one, but I honestly thought that they would win. Well, they would have won the past two and had tipped them in the past two. This one, I think, is a lot more difficult. I have no doubt in my mind that in the last 3 weeks of finals that Geelong has had the better form than what Richmond have had. But it's on the day, isn't it? As we all know, and it's how you play it, how you handle the moment itself and the moments within the game and how all that plays out, that will count. It won't be the history or the last 3 weeks that will count for anything. But, if you're a Geelong supporter, you go in, you've got good form and you're doing most things right going into the game. So it really does look a fascinating match. It is control versus chaos. I know a lot of people have used the get smart line, but that's the way that it'll play out. And when I have a look at it, Dwayne, Cats are doing a lot of things right. They've just got to continue to do what they do, but Richmond will play their game as well. So, it's just which one. Is it the control game? Is it the chaos game? I heard you a bit earlier in the afternoon with the weather. Where does that sort of come into calculations? I think if it's wet, I think it helps the Richmond chaos game more than what it helps a hold and control style that Geelong play. I know Geelong can adjust that to a degree to not over overuse the ball, but I just think it does actually play into Richmond's hands if it is wet. So where do we want to start with this? It's an absolute beauty.
Well, do you believe, and I had a text earlier on saying that this is going to be the toughest Grand Final that Richmond have been in, given that we had the Adelaide Crows and the power stance, and it seemed as if Richmond, kind of had that game won a fair way out, and they did, so they didn't get late game pressure, and we know what happened against the Giants. The Giants looked a little overawed, and Richmond just blew them away. So we're not expecting that tomorrow night, are we? We're expecting this one to be pressure from start to finish.
Okay, I'll give you a couple of numbers just to back up what you've actually said there, Dwayne, just in relation to where the other games have been and where this one sits. If you do percentage, and I've always been a big one for, you know, percentage shows a lot because it is your attacking versus your defensive and, you know, the combination of both. If we do percentage only for the finals, so we're not counting the 22 rounds, we call it, you know, a new season in those finals. When Richmond won in 2017, they come into grand final day, so their percentage in the other finals that they had played with 181%. And they went on and got the result they got. Last year, they come into grand final day with 150%. So a really good, solid percentage still again. This year, they come in with 113%. So that's, what, 37% down and nearly 60% down on what they were in the other 2 years. So they aren't at the absolute peak of their powers right where we sort of sit at the moment. So let's flip that around just for one quick second and sort of say, okay, well, that's where they sit. Where does Geelong sit for their finals? Well, Geelong sit, so we say Richmond are at 113%. Geelong sit at 169%. So in their three finals, two wins, one loss, both sides, in their three finals, Geelong are 23 points per game superior with what they've done to what Richmond have done up until this point. Now, as I started, it means nothing on grand final day, but you love to have that sort of form going in, and Geelong have got the superior form in this finals campaign going into this game.
I mentioned earlier on there's some great storylines, not just the Ablett retirement game, but can Dusty win a third Norm Smith? Dangerfield never won one before, he could win it. Richmond and their troubles that have been front and back page and their resilience to get through them. Tom Lynch has had a pantomime villain kind of year. Jack Riewoldt, he didn't seem to like the idea of hub life early this season, yet he's steeled himself to get through it, and here he is in another grand final. Chris Scott, can he get that little monkey off his back? Not that I think it's a big one, but there are those that think it might have been 10 or 20% Bomber Thompson's flag, that first one that he won. There's so many storylines in this grand final. So which one gets your heart the most out of all of those, Terry? Or is there something else that has got the passion overriding any stat breakdown?
There's so many of those. I mean, obviously, I gravitate marginally towards the boys that I coached. Very young when I coached them. There's not many of them left in this lineup now, but only three of them are still running around, and that's Trent Cotchin, Jack Riewoldt, and Shane Edwards. So my eye always gravitates to those boys because you bring them into the footy club sort of hoping that they can have the career that they want and that they can have the success surrounding that we've all wanted in the game. And I've heard you talk about that, the want to win a premiership before. So I've always followed those guys closely. Yeah, Cotchin is just building this record, this incredible record that that his captaincy, his leadership. If he goes a three-time captain of that football club, that's massive. Can Jack turn around? Which is just moderate form at the moment, I think that's fair to say. But he was that in last year's preliminary final and then come out and kick five in the big one. So, can he repeat that and start to become a player that we sort of say, well, hang on, even when he was getting past his absolute best, he was a star on the big stage. And, that would be something from him. And, look, most people who have heard me commentate know that Shane Edwards is an absolute favourite of mine. And just his moments of brilliance in big games are something to have a look at. So I love them, but equally, as a Geelong fan, to farewell Ablett in the right way. I spoke the other day about the similarities between him and Lee Matthews, and it was in the papers again today, the comparisons between the two. There are so many storylines that we just absolutely love about the game, and the matchups will be critical. Where does Dangerfield start? I think he'll start forward. Where does Martin start? I think he'll start in the midfield. Does Guthrie go to Martin? If he does play that role, who goes to Dangerfield. I'm thinking Grimes will probably get first crack at him, being the athlete that he is, and you know the trust that Richmond have in him. But yeah, you know, most of these teams have got multiple options to play on most of the players. And I look at it and sort of say, well, you know, if they go to Noah Boulder on Hawkins first up, and it doesn't sort of work. Well, they've got Asprey, who's always played on the key tools, and Geelong are exactly the same. They can flip-flop their players around. So I'm just really pleased that we've got 22 guys. I don't think there'll be any changes tonight. 22 guys fit well, both sides in that shape, both sides that have got close to their best lineup available to them. I just think that way it actually matches up to make a really, really ripping game. And then it comes down to who gets their way in the game.
I think both coaches at the press conference virtually confirmed that they're going to go in with no changes, but obviously with a little bit of a run to have tonight or whatever happens tonight, that could change. But at the moment, they've said that they're going to go in no change. So you're right, no changes expected at selection tonight. So who did you say will line up at Gary Ablett? That's another key matchup, and you do expect Danger to start forward. Where are you? Such a bee in a bottle, the way he's sort of amped up right now. I'd be letting the bee out straight away into the midfield, even if you're pushing forward 5 minutes in.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I think he'll start forward. I think that they've just, and it's only my gut feeling, that they've had trust in that midfield group in the last two finals. And that's gave them a more dangerous look up forward. Plus, when they played Richmond last time around, they couldn't penetrate. They could get the ball inside the forward 50, but they couldn't score. Their score efficiency was well down. And I think that's one stat that will really determine this final. Not so much a territory battle, although that will be important, but it'll be the efficiency once you get it inside, whether that you can score, because the Tigers are super, super good at stopping sides from scoring once they get it in there. So personally, I think Dangerfield forward, trust your midfielders to get the job done. If there's any semblance of it looking at shaky at all early, I think you'll come straight up the ground. As we spoke about last week, I think there'll be the determination of where he plays will just be who's got the momentum in the game. Your question on Ablett as well, I think Boston should be the one to go to Ablett. I thought he got given too much latitude with Daniel Rich last week. Could somebody like a Baker do the job? Yes, but yeah, he's still your run and carry. I think Foston is more your lockdown, super tough defender. So I'd go for the senior experienced Foston over a younger kid. So that would be a magnificent duel if it ended up that way.
And do you think Harry Taylor gets first crack on Lynch? It seems like you can't actually move that matchup in my mind now. Even though Harry might look a bit slower and it might be his last game, you kind of got to back him in to win that one, even if you're forced to make a change later on.
Yeah, I would back him in. I mean, he took Charlie Dixon a couple of weeks ago. He's that big, strong beast of a player. He's got the assistance of guys down there, Stewart and Henry and O'Connor, who'll chip in and certainly sort of help him along the way. I had Taylor Lynch, I had Henderson Riewoldt, and I had Colin Jasny for Martin when he's forward. Yep. I just think the fact that he's taken Begoe and he's taken Charlie Cameron, there are a couple of little wobbly moments in the game for him last week on Cameron, but he's done it and he's ticked off both of those boxes the last 2 weeks, so I'd be giving him the opportunity of playing on Dusty. And then the rucks, as we spoke about last week, particularly the Geelong rucks, Stanley pushing forward, Blitzars going into the ruck. Is Blitzars on a wing? Is he rucking? Is he, the seventh defender? I think that Nankervis was fantastic at the end of last week's game, but, this is a different challenge for him. I mean, the two boys that he played on last week were a bit more robotic ruckman. He's coming up against a couple of absolute athletes this week. So, that'll be a fascination as well.
And it doesn't really matter what you do in the home and away. Like Port Adelaide, they're pretty good at the territory battle and pretty good at centre clearances as well all year. And yet they lost the game last week and lost the centre clearances badly. How much do you think the centre clearance battle is going to be a a part of winning this one. And do you think there's another stat that we should keep an eye out that you think could be the difference?
Yeah, look, centre clearance or clearance in general is always important because it gives you first option of controlling the territory. So, I mean, it's always an important stat. I don't think it's a stat that Richmond have lived and died on for their time. They were beaten in the first half and still in the game. They won it comfortably in the second half. But I don't think that they live and die on it. I think it's more suited to Geelong, who want to control the ground territory and where the game's played. So I think it's probably marginally more important for the Cats than what it is for the way that that Richmond want to play the game. As I sort of said before, I might even go to territory battle just for a second. There were 33 inside 50s difference between these two sides last week. So Geelong were plus 18 inside 50s and Richmond were minus 15. So that's a huge differentiation. But again, one week doesn't roll into what the next week necessarily looks like. If it's that wide apart this weekend, Geelong will win the game of footy. But I sense that it won't be that wide apart, nor will the stoppages. So the area, as I said earlier, that I really think to win the game, that Geelong have got to get right their ability to score once they've got the ball inside their forward 50, because Richmond make it ridiculously difficult. The scoring rate for Port Adelaide last week, obviously it was in the wet, so that plays a major part, but it was 17% last week that they went at. Richmond went at 36% down that end. When they played the last time around, Richmond went at 52% when they got it in their forward end. Geelong went at 28%. So to me, that is massive in the way that Richmond play and in the way that Geelong want to play to be able to get themselves a score. And even when you heard Chris Scott, I mean, it was a pretty obvious statement that he said, but he sat there and sort of said, we've got to be able to score. I think he knows that he's going to get a look at it. I think he knows that, the way that they're playing and the style of game that they're playing will get the ball into that region often enough, but can they score from when they get it into that region? Flip it around and it'll look a lot different than what it did in round 17. They've got four or five players back, as have Richmond, but all their players back for Geelong are all part of their forward structure. So Ablett didn't play. Rowan didn't play. They didn't have Dangerfield forward at that stage. So it'll be a lot more potent forward structure this time around to what it was the last time. So in a nutshell, for me, Dwayne, I'll just give you this. Whatever Cats have to do to win the game, they're going to do what they're doing at the moment. They control the game through marks, they control the territory game, and they do that through marks, marking the ball inside 50s. Their marks inside 50s have been incredibly good the last couple of weeks, winning 14-4 and 17-5 in the last two games. And they've been getting high-end inside 50s. Clearance victory would be great for Geelong because that helps set up their ground control that they want. So most of what they're doing is what they want to do, but they've got to break down Richmond once they get the ball inside their forward 50. From a Tigers point of view, it's a chaos game, and it's a chaos game through pressure. And it's pressure at the ball carrier. It's chaos through tight structures behind the ball. It's a back line that is impassable, and they don't allow sides to score against them, even when they get the ball inside the forward 50. And with all that chaos that's going on and pressure around the ball, when they win it back, it's the charge of the Light Brigade. It's the tidal wave run. It's the tap on. It's the flow on effect that Richmond play with. So Richmond will be playing the chaos game. Geelong will be trying to play the control game. It'll be which one gets hold of the other.
I know you're tipping Richmond, Terry, but how much by and who wins your North Smith?
I'm going Richmond by 16. I'm not confident at all. I give Geelong and Geelong fans a huge chance in this game. It's the least confident, as I said, from the outset that I've been at a Richmond one, but I'm going Richmond just to get it right, just to be able to control the controllables. So 16 points. I'm going Shane Edwards. He's been around the mark in the last couple of finals. You know he's one of my absolute favourites. I'm going Shane for the Norm Smith medal. But I just really can't wait for the game.
Terry, been great to have you again. I really appreciate everything you've done to help me in my first year on this station. We've been friends a long time and you've been iconic for this station over time. Just before you go, a few that have come through on the text. You've been an absolute media treasure. Plough, thanks for all your hard work. You've really made us feel part of the journey. That's from Brett. Hi Terry, I emigrated here in 2004, so missed your playing career and only caught the end of your time as coach. Really enjoyed your input as the list manager. You're extremely knowledgeable and an expert in your field. Congratulations on your retirement, Derek from Brisbane. G'day, Plough. Must have sent 1,000 text messages through to you over the years, so I'm actually really sad that this will be your last one. So I'll leave you with this. Thank you. Good luck. And your shout I've ever run into you at the launching place, that's from Chris in Bateman's Bay. is Plough still going to be on Trade Radio? Scott, you're not doing Trade Radio this year, are you, Plough? This is your last and final.
No, I'm finished with you, Dwayne, on grand final evening tomorrow night, so that'll be the end. I'll be listening to Trade Radio and to all those people. Thank you very much that have sent in messages. It's quite amazing. When I finished my coaching, Dwayne, at the end of 2009, you can end up being fairly broken, and we've seen a lot of a lot of coaches have issues and problems. And for where it was in 2009 to where it's been with the support of the footy world, I can only thank the people for being so generous with their words.
And one last one to play out from the shoe repairer at the Pine Shopping Centre. Found you the most knowledgeable, purest analyst of all. Thanks. Thanks again, Terry. I could read out another 15, 20, 30 of them, I think, that had come through since I last checked. So I appreciate your time. And I can't wait to work with you at least on AFL Nation tomorrow to broadcast your last game as a broadcaster of AFL footy. Thanks, Plough.
Good on you, Dwayne. And thank you very much for your time throughout this year. I've really enjoyed it.
AFL Hall of Famer, SEN Hall of Famer, Terry Wallace, for one last McCafe coffee catch-up. McCafe for a fast, safe and contact-free quality barista-made coffee. A break.